Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. If you happen to be Gabe and you're listening, your wallet's in the studio. See that, Jeffrey? See that? He left his wallet here. Wouldn't you panic if you didn't know where your wallet was?
I most certainly would.
Well,
I know Gabe lives close by, and you know, when you're a new-ish dad, maybe your head's just elsewhere.
That could be it. Anyway, here it was on the floor, and so if you're Gabe out there, if you're Gabe Kuhn, your wallet is in the studio. Anyway, it's Friday, and what a fantastic weekend of sports we have ahead,
minus the NFL's noon slate.
Is the NFL's new slate week? Who's well, I like it because, first of all, the Bills aren't playing, so I don't have the stress of that, right? So
congratulations. Happy bye week.
That's fun. I mean, I'm interested, of course, in a bunch of NFL games, and the one that is nearest and dearest to you is Bucks-Lions, right? Like, that's fun.
Yeah, but that's Monday.
That's Monday. Okay, extended weekend. How about Eagles-Vikings?
Why would you be interested to watch Carson Wentz?
I'm interested in that game because of the struggles of the Eagles, right? What's happening with them? That's why. I think there's fresh intrigue.
I guess you just forget
game.
What it's like to watch Carson Wentz play quarterback.
Okay. That's a noon game? That's part of the noon
absolutely.
Slate?
Absolutely.
And you're not interested?
At all.
At all. But I was focused on college football, which is riveting.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. I just said it's the noon slate.
I mean, let's start with the biggest of them all, the Battle of the Bones.
Of course. Who could forget?
Who could forget? I mean, and you've got a UAB team, you know, without the coach.
I mean, do you get a fired coach bump?
Do you get a fired coach bump?
And I think
bump?
If there is such thing as a fired coach bump, not having to play for Trent Dilfer would probably qualify.
There you go. So we got that one. And then once you look beyond that to the secondary matchups, I mean, it is the SEC. Holy smokes! I mean, to have Georgia, Ole Miss, Vandy, LSU, Tennessee, Alabama, and bam! It's just an unbelievably great. Don't you think? I don't know. Is this the best weekend so far of SEC football?
Probably. Like if you're doing if you're talking about the whole card,
yeah, the whole card.
I think that's probably true. But I mean, also you totally left out like it's Hugh Freeze's last game.
Oh, and it's Hugh Freeze's last game. Is it?
Do you want to apologize when you thought he'd be good?
It's Billy Napier's last game. I don't know. I don't look back. I just
move
forward.
Of course. Yeah,
I just
look
back. Uh-huh. I just move forward. On to the next.
To
the next.
For sure.
On
yeah.
to Writer Than Write trivia.
On to Liberty.
Or
he'll be back.
On to Liberty. Is it Billy Napier's last game and Hugh Freeze's last game?
God willing.
It's just delightful. Plus, you got the Grizzlies tonight. How about that?
Yeah.
How about
sure.
that? So you got the Grizzlies tonight. They wrap up their preseason slate against the Miami Heat. Yeah, it's Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. Looking forward to a good weekend. Today on the radio show, Jason Smith's going to join us in the next segment. Then Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then we will do Jeffrey's bets. Speaking of on to next week, Last week we suffered our first
You seem to want to mention that quite often.
Every time I set the record.
I think the ratio of mentioning of losing week versus winning week is like 5-1.
At the beginning of the show,
yeah, of course.
I have extolled you every Friday for investing my money in a prudent, really visionary way.
Correct.
This was the first slight setback, and it was only a very slight setback. And honestly, you got screwed.
I know I did, but at the same time, we don't complain. We go back to work. We roll up the sleeves.
Anyway. Well, let's check in on my money then to put the most positive spin on it. I gave you $100 bills, not $1,000 bills. 10 crisp $100 bills.
I'm hearing a lack of faith. You could have given me
$1,000 at the beginning of the season. And so that's $1,000.
Yep.
I remember specifically counting them out into your palm.
Yeah.
And how much is that money now?
It would be $1,775.
Pretty good. Pretty good. So we'll take that. How you feeling about the cart?
I've already printed it out for you. That tells you where I am.
Oh. Oh, my God. Here it is. It's pretty extensive, too. Look at this. It's gold.
16.
This is like, I could do insider trading on this.
I have it before anyone else has it.
Anyway, that's the
lineup. You get some closing line value.
That's the lineup for today. We got a lot to talk about. I guess we'll start with last night balling on Beal. You know, what do you say about a pep rally? Except I have some things to say about the pep rally.
You were there?
I was certainly there. I wrote a column. And it was, you know, there's some columns you write that are a chore. There's other columns that are strictly game columns. There's some columns that are you try to be fiery and hard-hitting or whatever. And then some you just try to capture the scene because the scene is so extraordinary. And last night was extraordinary. It was as surreal and maybe more surreal than the night that I covered pole vaulting on Beale Street. And that was just fun. That was just fun, covering pole vaulting on Beale Street. And last night, let's just start with a verdict. How was it? It was great. It was, Penny Hardaway said it was the best since the big events. You know what he's talking about there. The massive, you know, where he came in on that vehicle thing. And the giant
slingshot, I think
slingshot is the proper term. Thank you. Where he slingshot it in. And it was the best easily since then. And full credit to the university. And Penny was very clear. He had nothing to do with this. They just decided to do it. Full credit to the university for deciding to do this this way. Because as I wrote in the column and as we've said, the regular Memphis Madnesses had just become increasingly sad versions of what they used to be. And so all you would notice is, well, this isn't that much fun anymore. There's not as many people here. There's no big act here. There's like, it just, it was, all you noticed was the lesser part, the diminishment. And so here, they did something that was totally different and risky, a little risky. Didn't know how it was going to go. I mean, the downside, what was the downside? The downside wasn't particularly severe, particularly given the police presence. We'll get to it in a minute. So, but it was risky because, well, you never know how something new is going to go, how it's going to be received. And it was great, great fun. I really believe that. It was great fun. Penny was fired up about how it went. And it also, I really do think, and Penny talked about it. He said, given what's happening in Memphis or given what's going on in Memphis, or he didn't have to expand on what he meant, on what we know what that means. Whatever side of this you're on, we know this is not a typical moment in Memphis, right? We do not, we can all agree on that. And so to have something on Beale Street that was totally frivolous and brought people out in what turned out to be pretty large quantities just to have fun and to be with each other and to do something that people have been doing for decades now, which is cheering Penny Hardaway. It was just a cool night. It was just a cool night. And I was really glad that I was there to cover it, to see people, to talk to people. The particulars of what happened, utterly inconsequential. Penny did lose the game of Tiger to Alex Simmons. And I've heard some wonder, was he giving his all? Yes, he was giving his all. They weren't. This was a game of horse, only it was Tiger because, you know, this is an SMU. We don't play horse here. We play Tiger.
Pony. Yeah.
Pony. No one is a horse. I had that line in my column, but no one actually, there's no team that's horse, right? Mm-hmm. It's only ponies.
There's stallions.
Broncos. There's probably Broncos and stallions and mm-hmm. yeah, but there's
Colts.
But all they did was shoot jumpers. Like, could Penny have concocted if this was, for major stakes, could Penny have concocted a bunch of shots that she wouldn't have allowed a dunk? Like, I don't know how Penny's dunking is these days anyway, but probably okay. He's tall. So he could have concocted shots to have beaten her? Maybe. But it was a jump shooting contest, and she had more than one in. There was nothing that was surprising to me about that at all. But that was fun. Julius Thedford had a half-court shot on Beale Street. That's kind of fun. That'll come in handy if you can do that, you know, in the non-conference schedule. It could be helpful. And they had a student hit a half-court shot. It was just like, wow. Whatever. It was fun. It was fun. There was smoke, and the pep band was there, and Memphis Palm was there, and big-ass beers were there, and it was just great. And it was also like, that was the other part of it. You have something like this on Beale, and I would not say half the crowd. I would say early on, half the crowd was people who just happened to be on Beale. Like literally the first five, I would just wander up to people and say, hey, what do you think of this? And the first one was like,
didn't know.
Alex from Germany. You know, it was, I came here for, I can't do accents. Came here for the
one
food.
More time.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Civil rights, the national, you'd been to the national.
Me, no, dude, I wasn't the one that tried.
He'd been to the Blue City Cafe. He'd been to the National Civil Rights Museum. Mm-hmm. They were having a great time. And then they get free basketball. He was absolutely delighted. There was a,
Sprecher der Deutsch.
There was a flight attendant who was on layover. She had a phrase. She said, I'm known as a...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Slam and click? Not a slam and click. A shut and click? There's a term that evidently flight attendants use for people who, when they're on layover, don't leave their hotel room.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like a shut and click or something. She said, I'm normally
so shut the door. Yeah.
Yeah. You shut and you just click it. Yeah. You click the lock and there you stay in there. And she said, that's how she normally is. But she said, I decided to get out in Memphis and she was watching. Like I talked to, again, multiple people who just were wandering around drinking a beer and happened upon this. And so that's fun and a little zany. And then there was the security. the forces, the whatever you want to call it. And it's interesting. I found last night to be, because I tweeted about the event, I tweeted about how much fun it was, and I tweeted about all the security. You could not go down there and cover that event. You would have to be willfully blind not to include commentary on the security to notice things. Like it is, with all due respect, totally absurd. Again, I am someone who wishes our police department were fully staffed. Like, they can't hire enough police. I want a fully staffed police department, and I will want a fully staffed and well-policed Beale Street, right? All of that. But the numbers here, I'm just telling you, they were laughable. Like, it was just hilarious. You would go to the corner of whatever, Beale and Second, and there would be literally 24 different police people of different, you know, the FBI was there, the state police were there, the city of Memphis police were there, the National Guard was there, and just hanging out in vast numbers. At most intersections, there were 7 or 8 different police. I mean, it was up until about 6 o'clock, there was much more security than there were actual people. And so it was kind of comical. It just was. And you couldn't notice it. You could not notice it. It was, I took a picture, and there were some National Guard personnel who saw 2 cops on a horse. And so they said, this is fun. I'm going to get a picture. And so but who to take the picture? Well, there's more cops just standing around. So you get, I tweeted out a picture of 2 cops taking a photo. 2 National Guards people standing in front of 2 more cops on a horse. Like, that's what it was. That was the night. It was overrun. And if you then talked to the fans about how they felt about it, it was very much like the day we opened the calls. Like, half the fans were, I feel so much better. I feel so much safer. I'm glad they're here. And half the fans were, this is totally absurd. And honestly, what was interesting is I happened to talk to 3 veterans who had, retired, who had served. And one was a Marine and 2 were in, had served in the Army. All 3 big Tiger fans. They were all 3 deeply offended that the National Guard was there. They weren't anti-security. What they were deeply offended that, again, I'm sure I could have found veterans. If I kept looking for veterans specifically, I was just talking to random people. I happened to bump into 3 people who had served, and they were all Tiger fans and they were all veterans. And they all 3 were like, one guy was like, is there a natural disaster? Is there a flood? Is there massive civil unrest? He said, this is not what the National Guard is for. It's offensive for them to be deployed in this way. And, it's not what they do. Like, it's not what they do. It's a sideshow. And that was his opinion. And but then there were other people I literally talked to who said, I feel more safe here tonight coming down here because of the presence of all these people. And so in the end, what's troubling, honestly, to me is I tweeted out some photos and stuff. And on Twitter, silly for me for having forgotten, it is so ugly. Like, one guy called me the let's just call it the throwback gay slur. Fully spelled out, the F-A, like that one, like fully spelled out.
It rhymes with maggot?
Yeah, like, and it's just like, what is, and then you have to, and I responded to some people, like, I called the event surreal. It was surreal, right? And the guy said, what? Are you scared because police are there? I said, where are you even getting that? I'm grateful police are there. I want it to be well-policed. People are so unbelievably polarized about this. And then what you also realize is that social media is, not that we needed a reminder, is just that's where everyone's arguing. That's where everyone's at their ugliest, right? I mean, they're arguing in the streets of Chicago, too. But they're, like, here in Memphis, the place where people are being nasty and whatever to each other, we're just weighing in on this. I'm not talking about what the arrest. What is it's social media is just incredibly ugly. I was actually thinking about this in the context of totally separately. We're writing some pieces about Calipari's biggest games that since of the nine years of the Calipari era.
Yep.
And so I went back and I wrote about D-Wash, right, and that game.
I'm sorry, what happened?
Right. He didn't hit the free throws. Spoiler alert. And I did think to myself, like at that moment when he missed those free throws, the response to him missing those free throws was overwhelmingly uplifting, right?
Yeah.
It was heart goes out to him. We love you. Even people who were not Memphis fans, like, felt for him. You know, it was a – I don't know how the feeling manifested itself because we didn't have Twitter then. Twitter started literally – that was 2005. Twitter started in 2006, right? But I wonder today, same thing. He's getting death threats.
Probably, yeah.
It really has not elevated us. It is. This has not elevated the discourse. And so that was too bad. For me, the biggest takeaway, though, was that, like, all you had to do. I met one woman who had retired from the Army and grew up in Memphis, loved Memphis. She has 15 different pairs of penny shoes. She has 7 different penny jerseys. And she's been stationed all over the world for the last couple decades, and she would proudly wear her Hardaway jerseys at bases and wherever, all over the world. Like, she's been repping Memphis forever. She has a 10-year-old daughter. She retired from the military this summer, and she couldn't wait to come back to Memphis because she loves the city. And now, she was one of the people who was highly disapproving of the fact that the National Guard was out there. She was offended that the National Guard was out there. And what she talked about was how much Girls Inc., for example, had meant in her life growing up, right? And so she sees the answer to our problems as much more investment in things like Girls Inc. But in the end, she had her daughter there last night, and she said, all I can do to support the city is get out and do things and support the city. And the nice thing is, as you're lined up and down Beale Street, watching Penny lose a game of Tiger to Alex Simmons, no one's thinking about what your view is on this or that. We're just human beings being with each other, drinking big-ass beers in the city of Memphis on a beautiful night. And it was really nice. It was really nice. And it was a reminder. There was a lot of talk. Penny talked about, I wanted my players to see Memphis. And what does that mean exactly? It's unclear. But I think what it partly means is Memphians who embrace their city, who get out, who are a little bit nutty at times, but who are very capable of embracing and experiencing joy and are open-hearted. And that's what I saw last night. It was really one of the most fun things I've covered recently. And I saw some Memphis officials before it began, and I was exhorted. They exhorted me to say nice things on the radio. And, of course, what I'll say on the radio, it'll reflect reality. If it had been a complete dud, I would have said it was a complete dud. Can't help but say nice things on the radio because nice things unfolded there on Beale Street. Other things did happen, Jeffrey. Because I was there and then writing a column, I missed the old timers game. I was looking forward to it. I told you I thought it would be fun. How did Al bear up under the? He must have been grateful.
Yeah, I mean, I think it helped that he didn't really have to. He's got a lot of institutional knowledge of Flacco and of Rodgers.
He goes correct. Back with these guys.
I did think it was Cobb and I were talking about this. The fact that last night was headlined by a game that involved Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers, and then on the ALCS, Max Scherzer was starting.
Like, he was being
it
Max
felt like
Scherzer.
I was back in college. It really did. It was nice.
And they all came through for you.
They did. They all delivered.
They were all dominant. I was someone who, I know you want to keep bringing up places where I've been wrong. That's because that's how you're wired.
Yeah, no, totally.
Does anyone
know how to lose in a week last week?
I would like to remind you that I was not opposed to the Joe Flacco acquisition. We all enjoyed, we all would have preferred Jameis Winston.
Yes, obviously.
Right? But like Gabe asked me, he said, why would they even do this? And it's like, why would they? Well, it's obvious why they would do it. They would do it because they weren't in a position to give up on the season. And their receivers in particular, that you were not in a position to give up on the season. And so you had to go get a quarterback. Now, you can argue, and you and I were on the same side of this. We both thought Jameis Winston
free him
would have been more fun.
Yes.
Right? And particularly given the mobility issues. Flacco was only sacked twice last night, which may say more about the Steelers' defense than anything else. But in the end, the Bengals aren't at a place where they can just say, we're going to suck. Right? And then I know Tomlin was critical of the Browns. Well, screw you, Tomlin, because the Browns are at a place where they can just say the Browns don't care about trading a quarterback in the division because they have no aspirations in the division while Joe Flacco is still going to be playing. I mean, they don't give a damn what happens this season. So why do they care about trading him in the division? Best offer, 100%. No, you don't trade someone into division if you are trying to win the division. But if you know you're not in the mix of it in the division, it doesn't matter. You trade him.
Make the best deal.
Who knows how this is going to go, but 31 of 47, 342 yards and 3 touchdowns, all of which I've seen highlights of, but none of which I've actually watched as they were unfolding because I was balling on Beal. Well, not actually balling.
You're watching balling on
Beal. Was he as good as the numbers suggest he was?
He was. So that was actually the conversation that we were having is, who was last night more damning on? Jake Browning or the Browns? Because Flacco, if you've watched the Browns, it was a tough, tough watch. And if you've watched
the Bengals, they're thrown to Jerry Jeudy with the Browns.
Yeah.
Who was he thrown to? He's thrown to Jerry Jeudy. They got the tight end of the second round. They drafted a tight end in the second. Got a couple of tight ends, right? Got a bunch of tight ends. Who else? Did he have weapons in Cleveland? Just weapons or is it scheme? Is what my question is.
I was under the impression that they had a decent offensive line, and maybe they have a good run-blocking offensive line, because the biggest difference of last night was he just had time to throw.
Separate question is it an indictment of the Steelers?
Maybe. I think also it's possibly an option that we kind of talked about, but Thursday Night Football is now officially just like, it's the teams on a short week. It gets weird.
Right.
Everyone just looks exhausted.
Ja'Marr Chase, 16 catches.
I mean, 16 targets.
16 targets?
I'm sorry.
16 catches.
16 catches on, I believe it was 21 targets. Yeah. And the best is, have you seen the clip of...
I've seen somebody, there's no one around him.
Yeah, that's the play on the last drive. But the best clip of last night is Flacco threw it to Chase and Chase dropped it. And then they cut to Flacco, and he's truly like shocked, like he could not believe. He's like, wait, what? How did that happen?
Okay, so Aaron,
he had
a hell of a throw to Freiermuth.
So there were three throws last night that, let's just say, got the pants a little tighter. Number one, the very first throw of the game was a DK Metcalf like vintage. Rodgers buying a little bit of time and then just flicking it like on just an absolute rope, like 40 yards down the field.
Yeah.
That one was spectacular. The Freiermuth throw. And then the Hail Mary, it didn't work.
No.
But it wasn't his fault. I mean, he threw it 70 yards in the air. He's 41.
It actually gave me, hope. That it's funny how you look.
Josh can play forever.
Yes, that was exactly it.
I might get another 10 years out of it.
You look at through this. Everyone is, we're all selfish people. Let's just acknowledge that. And so we all look at everything through the prism of our own desires. And for me, it was, Okay, so the Bills really don't have this figured out now. They're not Super Bowl material this year.
It's October the 17th.
But maybe I got 10 more years. Maybe I got 10 more years. Josh is going to be flinging it. Now, he's not going to be running over people, but he's going to be flinging it when he's 39.
I mean, this is kind of the Elway thing. Like, Elway's Super Bowls come
right
when he's not John Elway.
When he's got Terrell Davis.
Correct.
I don't know who his receivers were. Well, that was the other thing that's been interesting to me about the NFL is that we've been talking about how Josh has no weapons and Mahomes wasn't great until he started to get his receivers back and whatever. And then you got Baker who's just thrown at
his fifth and sixth receivers.
So, yeah, it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, we had baseball last night. Didn't watch any of that either. Max Scherzer was Max Scherzer. That series is tied up. And the Dodgers have this thing locked down.
It does feel like we're heading towards Blue Jays Dodgers.
How do you feel about Blue Jays Dodgers?
As long as the Blue Jays win.
Team Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Team Canada. Did you see that Ace Frehley died?
I did.
You familiar with his work?
Of course, obviously.
Lead guitar.
Lead guitar, some Kiss, but also what's the back end of New York? Dun. That's Ace.
Yeah, that's Ace. He had the quote-unquote most successful solo career of the four. I was reading his obit today. He joined Kiss because he saw an ad in the paper for a flashy lead guitarist. His mother drove him to the tryout. And then of all of the members of Kiss, he was the most prone to consume drugs and alcohol. Like he was deep into drugs and alcohol, whereas Gene Simmons, teetotaler.
Yep.
But anyway,
he has other vices.
He died at 23. Oh, and we haven't mentioned
not 23.
I mean 73.
Yeah.
No, thank you very much. Thank you. Yes. Right. Exactly. 73. Sometimes my mouth out sprints my brain.
Correct.
The Cignetti contract. What was interesting to me, obviously, Cignetti in Indiana, 8 years, average of $1 million. And what struck me about it, and I heard you talking to Cobb about it yesterday on your show, this notion that in the wake of the James Franklin firing and buyout, $48 million, and in the wake of this universe where money is tight, supposedly, that we're going to stop seeing these massive contracts for coaches. Well, that's certainly one. I never bought it, and that certainly went out the window.
No, I'm open to the idea that they change the structure of contracts, but the idea that you're not
going
to
change this one.
But the idea, no,
fully guaranteed,
correct.
Fully guaranteed 8 years for a guy who's 64.
Correct. I also think like this is like the wake up call for everyone that's still in denial. This man would have had his choice of any job, whether it be Florida, Penn State, whatever it was. If he would have put out the feeler, I'm open to your job, he could have had all of them. He's choosing to stay at Indiana.
Because as long as you're well payrolled, it doesn't matter where you are anymore.
Exactly.
Now, here's the thing. The one thing I did, and this was a conversation that you and Cobb, and we've talked about it on this show before that I'm interested in, and it's this. Does it make sense? And you've brought this up, to save money on the coach and to just spend money on the players, right?
Yep.
And I guess what I would say is I actually think that makes a lot of sense logically. In other words, if you look at the NFL, quarterbacks are paid more than coaches.
Yep.
You look at what's valuable to winning and you pay those things and you allot those things more money. And so in some ways that makes sense. The thing, though, is that let's say you are a team, a program that wants to implement this philosophy, okay? We're going to spend our money on our players, not our coaches. You're not really saving much. In other words, Cignetti's making $11 million, okay? And that's top five. So your average overpaid coach or highly paid coach, let's just say, makes $9 million, okay? Right? Well, you're not going to pay that coach less than $5 million. Like, what is Texas Tech's head coach?
He's right there.
$5 million. So all you're saving is $4 million to spread on your roster when rosters now are $40, $50, $60 million. In other words, I don't...
I would make the argument that $4 million is probably eight players.
$4 million. But yeah, but $4 million. You're saving $4 million, and you can spread that. You're spending, what do you think now? What are the payrolls of teams now?
Probably 25.
Well,
like the best
Gundy
is probably
said Oregon's 40.
The best is probably somewhere between 40 and 45.
This is what I was going to say. I think saving $3-4 million over 40 million bucks is not meaningful. Like, you're just going to play your coach. You want to keep the coach that you know you have a good coach. At that point, but if the rosters are 20 million, then that four or five that you're saving by not giving that then becomes a very meaningful amount of money.
Right? It's not just the coach, though. It's the how much are you paying your coordinators? How much are you paying?
I can see that, too. I can buy that. Are you really just going to let a coach who's been successful for you,
well,
who wants
no,
a raise,
because I also
really
acknowledge
let him
there's
walk?
There's also a business side of this where if let's say there's a legitimate case to be made that Indiana could have said let him walk in terms of if you're just doing a pure, is this worth it from a value perspective? With that said, the people that you're hitting up for money are going to sit there and go, screw you.
Well, and
we have the coach.
I completely buy that. But I also think the notion that you could just literally find a coach who would do something
Agreed.
In Indiana that has never been done before.
Right. Is he the only one that could do it?
You are certainly the notion that that kind of a coach is now fungible and you could just pick another one off the street.
Totally agree.
Literally, it's never been done before. That might work at LSU. You might say, you know what? At LSU, we don't have to pay. Just because we had a miracle worker, we don't need another. But I mean, it's just like Calipari's value at Memphis, right? Calipari's value as the basketball coach at Memphis was unique, right?
It's higher than his value when he was
Josh
at Kentucky.
Josh Pastner's not unique.
Yes.
Just a guy. Nice guy.
Totally. No, I know. I get what you're saying.
But
you're not judging him as a person. You're talking about
there's no added value. You're not getting. You could have gotten 30 coaches as good or bad as Josh Pastner.
And they tried at one point.
And you could also get much worse coaches.
Yes.
Price, like, you could get much worse coaches. I'm not saying. I'm just saying he's not special. But if you could have paid, I would pay John Calipari, even in this world of college basketball.
Yep.
Almost any amount of money to coach at Memphis.
That's why Arkansas's at the end, like, it wasn't like John was at the peak of his powers in terms of desirability, but Arkansas realized, like, well, he's going to make us way more relevant, and therefore, here you go.
And in a very different sort of way, that's what Cignetti is. He is
Absolutely.
A particular value at Indiana. We're going to do Jeffrey's Bets, talk a lot more college football. In the second hour, we got Jason Smith coming up, then Chris Harrington, then Jeffrey's Bets. It is the Jeff Gawkins Show on a Friday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined by Jason Smith, Jason and John, every single day from 11 until 2. So, Jason, I don't think you were there last night at Ballin' on Beal, but I'm sure you've seen the videos, heard the reports, and maybe even heard Penny's totally enthusiastic endorsement of the evening. What do you make of that?
Happy for the program. Looked like a success. I mean, from everything, you know, you saw in the pictures, from the stuff on the socials, from your column, look like a success. I mean, if Penny's happy, then I think we should be happy. And you could see it from the pictures, the folks that did attend. And I listened to you, initially, maybe there's more security there than there are people, or at least more people just down on Beal. But that thing eventually, Kantar yeah. Macklin was right down there in the front row, friend of 92.9 FM, sort of mayor of Memphis, unofficial mayor of Memphis in a way. He was down there, but he put up a Facebook post for the intimate little setting that it was. It looked like it was great, and everybody enjoyed it. Some people, talked about kind of it being a little jammed for the space it was in, because people were kind of on top of folks. And so, listen, I think that's the environment that they had hoped for. Penny seemed happy, and I think you got to be happy that it looked like a success.
It was absolutely. That's the advantage of. It's just like when people want a smaller football stadium or a smaller basketball arena, right? Like the same number of people in a smaller space looks like more people. And it was like, here's how it was sufficiently packed that the people in the back didn't have a prayer seeing it. And I don't mean that's a bad thing, because there was a big screen. And so most people, you could hear the band and you could whatever, but it was
right.
8-10 people deep. And so you were amongst. It wasn't game day at all, but it was interesting to me that at a time when we're so hungry for game day to be back, and of course we are, that means a lot more in all kinds of different ways. This was kind of a little miniature game night, though. Like, it was super fun, and the atmosphere was terrific, and Penny was just notably delighted.
The players look like they enjoyed themselves. And that's the thing about it. Most of them haven't experienced what Memphis basketball is supposed to be like. And in this case, I mean, there was a little bit of, saw a picture of Curtis Givens' family down there. And you talk about that Memphis tie, and it looked like there was, I mean, my gosh, there must have been, I don't know if it was his entire family, but it was a ton. I mean, you're talking about dozens of folks. And you had that, and you had it in an intimate setting. And whether you were a family member or whatever else, you had to feel good for the players, because they got a little taste of what Penny had hoped for, which was, hey, man, this is, folks feel strongly about this Memphis basketball team. I thought one of the interesting comments that came out of it was Penny sort of saying, hey, I think you were probably right there, Jeff, or it looked like you might have said in the scrum that, look, we're losing to Grizzlies basketball right now, and we've got to get the vibe going again when it comes to Memphis basketball and everything else. And it seemed like he came away feeling that. You want your coach encouraged, but you also want those players feeling a little bit of what Memphis does. And when guys like Curtis Givens and King Tedford are able to bring family to it around these new guys, it gives them a taste, makes them feel good going in the season. The feel good's all great, and that's what you want in the preseason. And hopefully it continues into these two exhibition games. But once you hit the court, it's going to be all about W's and L's.
That's 100% true. And it was interesting. Like, there was... We were talking about what a great atmosphere. We were talking about what a great atmosphere it was, but then there was some effort to say, "Do we think this is going to translate to more fans in the sea on the part of some reporters?" And I've never believed that. Like, right. I don't think. Right. This, and Penny, I thought, was handled that all very well. He said, "The reality is reality now. Like, things are." He made this point. He said, people between 30 and 40, I don't know why he picked that decade, don't come to games. And he said older people don't like come to games because they've stopped coming to games. And people between, he specifically said 30 and 40. What is there, Jeffrey, what did you make of the 30 to 40 don't come to games? What does that mean?
It's what I've been telling you about, is the fact that, like.
Because you're on TV. Oh, it's the TV.
Yeah.
Oh, those people sit and watch TV now.
Yeah.
I see. That was it. Oh, by the way, one other thing about last night. I saw Leonard Draper there, and he said the secret weapon on this team is going to be Tedford. What do you think?
I'd love him to be a secret weapon in over multiple years, I'm sure Draper is hopeful of the same thing. We talked about that with Tedford, with King Tedford, and with Curtis Gibbons particularly. You have got to keep some guys in terms of some continuity. And boy, would it be nice if they're Memphis products that produce in your rotation. They're go-to guys for you. And King is a dog. Like, we've already seen it from him. We saw it through his high school days here. We've already seen it at the Division I level. Hopefully he can stay healthy and be that for you. And he'll be that kind of guy you know, that Memphians quickly fall in love with. Maybe in a sort of Alex Lomax way, in the sense that he does a little bit of everything. Offensively, he's going to be better for you, hopefully, than Lomax was, just in terms of what he can produce if fully healthy. That's what you want to get him to for a full season. But no, the hope, Jeff, is that you keep guys like that for multiple seasons, which is not just good for, hey, you got family here, it's great to have Memphis guys on the team. You need that so you're not replacing 13 to 15 every year. This is what's been borne out in this day and age. You've got to keep as many as you can. The best teams had guys back, the Floridas, the Houstons, everybody, you know, the Auburns even had got key guys back. Penny's got to get to that point. He's already talked about identifying 7 for 8 for next year. That's the way you've got to go. You can't be replacing 15 and hoping that your chemistry is going to be great every time. We've talked about this. That's gambling. And it's not if you can avoid it being that sort of 50-50, hey, this is a new crew, you know, with more guys in the middle that are setting sort of the core for multiple years, that's the way to go in this day and age. And I think that's what Penny's sort of aiming for.
Have you talked yourself into being hopeful for this season? Optimism?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to win the American, and so you're in the tournament. But the issue is, because here was the – I mean, I can frame it very easily for you. Last year going into the season, it wasn't just Penny's got to get the job done. We said what we've been saying since 2000, what we've been saying for, frankly, 16 years, you got to get to the second weekend. We said the way was to get out of the 8-9 spot that he'd been in the first 2 years. Last year, amazing non-conference record, 10-3, fourth toughest schedule. We've talked about it. And then Penny does what he's supposed to do in conference, handles business. You get the 5 seed. You finally get the path we've talked about, and you lose in the first game. And we can, I know it, and I can hear it right now, folks, we should. It's in the discussion. No Tyrese. You know, you were thin at the guard position. You had a bad matchup against a good Colorado State team, but in the end, nobody wants to hear it. Because in the end, and Penny knows this, and he said it out loud. I mean, Josh Pastner in 7 years had, 2-4 in the tournament. He's got more tournament wins than Penny's got now going into year 8 at 1-3. In the end, it's about that. And God love those fans that showed up last year last night and were there and brought the passion. But in the end, and John's written about it and we've talked about it, it's about making runs. It's about improving on a 1-3 record in the NCAA tournament. That's the way you get if you want to make it. You know, I'm not saying Penny made it that, but if it's Tigers versus Grizzlies for those 30 to 40-year-olds that now have buying power, well, you got to give them something. You've got to give them runs. You've got to give them excitement all year long. And that was a thing last year, boy. I mean, they were good. That team in the non-conference was great. You know, they had everything set up for them. And kind of like Memphis football didn't do last year, you'd set yourself up pretty good. Last year they were the number 1 pick, whatever else. A little bit, you know, it was different in the details, but you left something on the table. We've talked about that. It's an analogy I've continued to use, and hopefully Ryan's going to take it all this year. And Penny Hardaway can hopefully do the same thing. But that same thing is, whether it's winning a game, getting people excited, you moved on to the Gonzaga the 1 year, or getting, yes, to a second weekend, you've got to get that done to get the real excitement back. Winning cures all, especially in Memphis.
All right, and where are you on Caleb Williams these days?
Oh, I'm feeling good about what Ben Johnson's doing with him. Now, let's be real. He's got I think Jeffrey would know this, he's got the worst off-target percentage in the league. So what's going to come out of that arm? What's going to come out of that hand? You just never know sometimes. But what Ben Johnson was you know, hired to do, we're seeing more of from Caleb. Man, keep it simple. Like, it feels so easy to constantly. It feels like we're having the same conversation, that you really just got to get Caleb to do the routine. Get it to your weapons. This team is loaded. Luther Burden is like the third, fourth receiver if you count Alameda Zaccheaus. And this dude can take it to the house, Anita. You saw DeAndre Swift go off. And we watched Ben Johnson take a dead running game, Jeff, and he threw everything at it. It wasn't just DeAndre. He ran the rookie Manon guy. He ran Roschon Johnson, came back from the dead with the big concussion helmet on. He was running. He ran the receivers. But the point is, Ben did everything he could to try to, you know, force this, get this run game going, to revitalize it. I mean, it's been dead the whole time, and it finally opened up with DeAndre Swift making some plays. And so you just see the offensive creativity leading to some gaps. Defenses having to worry about the next thing. Is DJ Moore going to run at this time? And so my point is, Ben's doing what he's been hired to do. Taking it back to your question, Caleb Williams, seems like step by step he's getting it, and you just hope for his confidence, like a place where last year he had a victory take. It wasn't his fault. He was playing well at that point. The Bears were 4-2 going into Hail Mary, Fail Mary. That game was sort of stolen from him by that Bears defense, Tyreek Stevenson, that blew it. But you go back, you contribute to a fourth-quarter win in the same place right there, drive him down for the field goal, hopefully for his confidence. He feels like Ben Johnson is making me a better quarterback. So he wants to continue to eat the information, to get better, to be willing to critique himself. That's what you're hoping is happening. And three in a row, at least Bears fans will tell ourselves, oh, my God, yeah, oh, this is it. We're finally going to have a quarterback that's going to throw for 4,000. He's on pace to do that. But I'm keeping expectations low, Jeff, like you like to say. It doesn't feel like we're where New England is. We're certainly not. We're not on top of the division. You can tell yourself that this is the best time,
yep,
Jeff, that you like to talk about a lot, right? Rookie quarterback, lower expectations. This is a good time to be a Bears fan.
Appreciate it, Jason. Thanks very much.
All right, brother.
Jason Smith, every single day. From 11 until 2, Chris Herndon coming up next, and then Jeffrey is going to make you rich. He was just on fire through the first part of this season.
Mm-hmm.
How about that, Jeffrey?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm leaving it.
Yeah, get to the butt.
There's no butt. Mm-hmm. There's no butt. There's no butt. He's just absolutely crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he has made me, from my initial $1,000 investment, more than $1,700. And so we're going to try to build on that in the second hour. And then, this is true, yesterday morning, Claire said to me, totally out of blue, I really like you, that those earrings you got me for Christmas. By the way, do you think the fact that she said that in October qualifies as some kind of a hint?
I'm just saying we can't rule it out.
Do you think it qualifies?
Speaking of, you know, get out early.
Anyway, I got them from Robert Irwin Jewelers, and Robert Irwin Jewelers has been here for 48 years. 48 years. Moved to Memphis and loved Memphis and have invested themselves in Memphis, in the community of Memphis, celebrating 48 years by allowing you, inviting you to walk into any one of their locations, the Bartlett Town Center in Bartlett, Goodman Road in South Haven, Diamond Showroom on South Perkins across from Laura. That's one I go to. That's where I got the earrings. And pick out an item. And because it's 48 years, you get 48% off any item, including engagement rings, including whatever you have in your mind to get someone for Christmas. 48% off any item in the store. This is through October 25. Any one item in the store. You don't get 48% off 7 items. That would be crazy. They're not trying to go out of business, but they are giving you 48% off any one item in the store. Plus regular fabulous financing that they have, 24 months deferred interest, up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. That doesn't go away. All of that's still in place. It is Robert Irwin Jewelers. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. We got Chris Harrington coming up next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.